Maybe we could read at this time from the Scriptures. And our reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. And we read from verse 7 through to 24. Chapter 14 in Luke's Gospel, verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. He that bid thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bid thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbours, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come. For all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And we know that God will bless this reading of his word. Maybe we could read at this time from the Scriptures. And our reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, and we read from verse 7 through to 24. Chapter 14 in Luke's Gospel, verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. He that bid thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bid thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And we know that God will bless this reading of his word. I want to draw your attention tonight to this passage that we have just read together in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. And we find that as we read down the portion that we read, that the Savior had been invited into the home of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to have a meal, to eat bread. And we find that as we read what happened, that he did a very unconventional thing. The Lord Jesus was a man who just didn't go along with convention all the time. He was prone at times to raise a few eyebrows. And that's exactly what happened here. Because we find that from verse 7 to 11, that he rebuked the guests for their bad manners at the feast. And then we find the second thing, he rebuked the host for the false principle upon which he issued his invitation. He said down there in verse 12, When thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, lest they also return the invitation and recompense thee. But he says, when you make a feast, call the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. So he rebuked these people. And when the Lord Jesus mentioned here the resurrection in verse 14, one of the guests said to him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And immediately Jesus responded by telling him this parable that revealed the sad consequences of false confidence. This was a parable for stubborn Jews who were so sure that they would eat bread in the kingdom of God. And within a few short years, the gospel would be rejected by the official religious leaders, and the message would go out to the Samaritans and the Gentiles. And he tells this parable here of the Great Supper. As we read through the Gospels, we find that the Lord Jesus told many parables. It tells us that without a parable spake he not unto them. And it's this parable that I want to focus in on tonight as we come to this gospel service. Most people like to be invited to a feast, whether it's a wedding feast or some banquet or some special occasion. There's always something special about food when you're getting it for nothing. Only people tell us, of course, that there's no such thing as a free meal. It's always interesting when you're in the supermarket and the word goes round that there's free samples going out in one of the aisles, that everybody seems to be going down that aisle in the supermarket. But we find that people like to get an invitation to a special wedding or special banquet. And this is a man, a story of a man who made a great supper and invited many. It says here in verse 16, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many." And the first thing I want just to write across that is this: a costly invitation. He made a great supper and invited many along to that feast. Those of us who have married daughters understand how this man felt. He made a great feast and bade many. You know, when we were in Bellarmina, a young Chinese girl started to come to the church, and she came for quite a number of weeks. And then one night she came to the Lord and gave her heart to him. Some weeks later, she felt that she needed to invite my wife and I to a special traditional Chinese meal in her own home. Now, I'd never had Chinese food before then, and so this was unknown territory. And when she told me that there would be about 8 courses to the feast, then I began to really get truly concerned. And so we went along anyway, and it all began, and she brought out course after course. And some of the dishes and bowls that I looked into and saw what was looking out at me, you know, I began to say to myself, well, I really do need extra prayer here. But it was a great feast. It was a great feast. And you know what I'm talking about when we talk about a great feast, a wedding reception, a great banquet. You know the kind of spread that there is, and you know the cost that's involved. My, and this man made a great feast, and he invited many along to partake of that feast that he had provided. You know, the host here in the parable, as we apply it in the gospel, speaks of God, and the feast, of course, is the gospel feast. And I want just to look tonight at some of the things that God has provided, because God has provided a great gospel feast, and he's spreading that great gospel feast tonight, and there's a banqueting table, and he's inviting men and women to come to that gospel feast. I believe that on the table of the great gospel feast tonight, there's a thing called the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. The Bible emphasizes to us the need of forgiveness. People need to be forgiven because they've sinned. And the Bible teaches us that we have all sinned, that we have all come short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. You might look on people and think that, my, they lead a terrible life, they commit terrible sins, but remember, in God's sight, all sin is sin. And the Bible emphasizes to us that the thing that men and women need most of all is for their sins to be forgiven. There's folks tonight, and they might think that the thing that they need most is to win the lottery. There's others who may think that they might need a great holiday or a good holiday in some exotic place. But you know, friends, the thing that people need most is to have their sins forgiven. The Bible emphasizes not only the need of forgiveness, but it emphasizes the means of forgiveness. How we can have our sins forgiven. My, when Paul preached in Acts chapter 13, the end of that great message at Antioch, he talked to this great congregation, and he said, through this man Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And that's how men and women can have their sins forgiven, through saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible emphasizes the joy of forgiveness. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is covered. My dear friends, it's possible to have your sins forgiven. You know, the very fact that people need to have their sins forgiven proves that they have sinned in the first place. So on the table of this great gospel feast, there's the forgiveness of sins. It's there tonight. It can be taken off. You can experience it. You can have your sins forgiven, no matter how many they may be, no matter how terrible or awful they may be. We find that men and women can have their sins forgiven. That's the first thing that's on the table. You know, the second thing at this great gospel feast that spread is redemption. Redemption and forgiveness go together. Paul talked about redemption and the forgiveness of sins as one. He talked about we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You see, we were not only born in sin, but we were born in the prison house of sin. Men and women are held captive in the devil's domain. We were born into the kingdom of darkness, and we need delivered. We need to be set free. We need to be emancipated. We need to be brought out of that kingdom and out of that kingdom of darkness. God is spreading a great feast. It's the gospel feast. And on the table is the forgiveness of sins and redemption through his blood. And on the table tonight, there's another dish. It's called reconciliation. Yes, we were not only born in sin and born in the prison house of sin, but because of our sinful nature and sinful ways, we were born at a distance from God. We're enemies of God. We need to be reconciled to God. You might think tonight, because you go to church, you might say to me, how could you call me an enemy of God? Because you're a religious person, you might say to me, I'm not an enemy of God. I want to tell you, if you're without the Savior tonight, if you've never received God's gift through his Son, then you're an enemy. You're at a distance. You're far off. But though we were enemies, we've been reconciled to God, says Paul, through the death of his Son. And there's a great gospel feast spread. God has provided a great feast. And on the table, there's the forgiveness of sins and redemption and reconciliation. And on the table, there's peace with God. People are looking for peace today, trying all sorts of things to find peace, international peace. Peace in our land. There's many folks and they're looking for peace in their own heart and peace in their own soul, because they have no peace and they have no assurance of tomorrow, and they have no real sense that it is well with their soul. And my people are looking for peace, and there's peace with God on the gospel table tonight. A man made a great feast, and on the table there's forgiveness and redemption and reconciliation and peace. And on the table tonight of this great banqueting feast, there's joy for your soul. Forgiveness, redemption, and peace brings joy. It brings happiness into a person's life. It brings a sense of satisfaction, a sense of fulfillment. Is that what you're looking for? Is there something missing in your life tonight? Well, it's available. And on the table, there's the sure hope of heaven. The sure hope that if life were to end today, then it would be heaven and with the Lord for all eternity. My, this is the gospel feast that's being spread. My, there's inheritance. We have an inheritance reserved in heaven, which is undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. All these things make up this great package of salvation. People talk to me today about a package. We'll offer you a package, and in the package there's this and that and the other thing. Well, if you want, there's a package. It's the package of salvation. It embraces forgiveness and redemption and reconciliation and peace and joy and hope and satisfaction and an inheritance in heaven. It's called God's great salvation. And that feast is spread tonight. And you know, for any feast, there has to be a cost. And the man who gave the feast here had to pay the cost. And the gospel feast that God has provided was provided at a great cost. God gave His Son, His only Son, His only begotten Son. He gave His Son to die on a cross at Calvary. And His Son came and shed His own precious blood and died the just for the unjust, and suffered and took the penalty of sin and went down into the depths of death at Calvary and made a sacrifice to God for sin. My, the cost was paid. It was a great cost. Christ died that you could be saved, and He rose again to be the Savior of all those who will come and put their trust in Him. My, what a cost was paid, and what a salvation was provided. The cost is paid tonight. The cost is met. And salvation is offered, and it's free, and it's for you tonight. We see, as we look at this parable, a costly provision. Yes, a certain man made a great feast and bade many. And it says here, he sent a servant at supper time, saying to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." Man, that's a gracious invitation, isn't it? There's a costly provision, and then there's this gracious invitation. This is the gospel invitation, and it's a gracious invitation. I'm sure that most of us has received an invitation of one sort or another, and it gives all the details on the invitation, the time, the place, the purpose, what it's about, who it's about, All the details are on the invitation. But really what the invitation is just saying this. We're inviting you to come. That's what the invitation is saying. You're invited to come. You receive that invitation. It's just a simple invitation. And dear friends, God is inviting you tonight to come to the gospel feast. And he's inviting you to partake of the gospel feast, to partake of this great salvation that he has provided through the death of his son at the place called Calvary. And the gospel feast is provided and the provision is made. And God comes out in marvelous, matchless grace. And he says, come, for all things are now ready. There's nothing you need to bring. There's nothing you need to pay. There's nothing you need to do. You just need to come. There's a simplicity and a sincerity in this invitation. In other functions, you have to maybe put on your best clothes or buy a ticket or dress up in a particular way. But I want to tell you that you just have to come as you are. God's invitation has just come as you are. You might say to me tonight, you know, I'm too bad a person. I'm too sinful a person. No one's too sinful a person. No one's too bad a person. All you need to do is come. Just as you are. This is not just an invitation for the rich, or for the learned, or for the mighty, or for the well-to-do. This is an invitation for all. It's for you, whoever you may be. Yes, we see here tonight a costly invitation. And a gracious invitation. Then we read a little bit more of the parable. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. For said, I've bought a piece of ground, I must needs go to see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I've called that a foolish hesitation. A foolish hesitation. You know, in the days when the Lord Jesus lived and you invited guests to a meal, you told them the day, but not the exact hour of the meal. And then the hour came and the call went out to come. And each of these guests in the parable had already agreed to attend the banquet. The host expected them to be there. He expected them to be in their places. But instead of coming, those that were invited insulted the host by refusing to attend. They all began to make excuses. And the excuses, when you begin to examine them, they were pretty weak and feeble excuses. The first guy says, I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. Now, I don't know any man who would buy a piece of ground without having a look at it to see what kind of ground it was and what length it was and all the rest of it. And the second one said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must needs go to prove them. And I've known a few farmers in my time and, you know, they wouldn't buy animals without proving them, without seeing them, without being sure of what they were buying. And then the third one, he really takes the biscuit because he says, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. My, she must have been some cookie. Yes, he couldn't come because he had married a wife. What feeble excuses. And that's really all they were. They were just excuses. Because the fact of the matter is, they didn't want to come. And people hear the gospel. And what has been provided at such a great cost to God himself. And the invitation is given. And they know that all they need to do is come to Christ. And it's as simple as that. And yet they make excuse. They begin to make excuse. And the fact of the matter is they really don't want to come. I want to tell you this, friends, that hell is full of people who have made excuses. People who put it off and made excuses. And I want to tell you more, that the devil will give you plenty of excuses. He'll give you plenty of excuses. You could never keep it. Your time enough. He's telling people away at the end of their life that there's still time enough. Yes, or you could come sometime, but not just now. Or you're too young. Put it off to another day. And the pews of our churches are full of people who are making excuses. God has provided a gospel feast. He has provided this so great salvation. And he's offering tonight the invitation to come and partake of what he has provided, to make it yours, to enjoy it, to enter into it. And yet there's many, and they're putting it off. And they're beginning to make excuse. It says, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house being angry. You see here a righteous indignation now. My, if you provided a banquet and people you invited to the banquet let you down, you would be angry. And when the master of the house saw the reaction of some of the guests to this gracious invitation, he was angry. What a great provision had been made at such a great cost. And yet, they had rejected it. And God looks down from heaven and sees how people have treated his son all their lives. And he's angry when he hears the excuses. And God's righteous indignation will be the lot of those who reject Christ. He says to his servant here, he says, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. The servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, this was a great commission. You know, friends, God wants his house full. Those who were first bidden and refused the invitation, their places will be given to others. Some will refuse the invitation of the gospel, but others will accept it. And that's what's happening today. My, there's some who have heard the gospel many times, and the Spirit of God has stirred them and moved them many times, and they've been spoken to many times on many occasions. Still they're not saved. They've made excuse after excuse. God has spoken in far off lands. People have only heard the gospel once. And the first time they've heard it, they've received the invitation. God, you see this sincere intention here, because it's God's intention to fill heaven, whether you come or whether you don't. I believe that heaven will be full, whether you come or whether you don't. But God is giving you an invitation. And you have the opportunity tonight, on this 10th day of April, 2005, to accept that invitation. But if you refuse the the invitation that God has given you, then that invitation will be accepted by others. We have this solemn exclusion in verse 24, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Those who made excuse and rejected the invitation will be shut out. What a terrible thought it is to be shut out. Many will come and knock and cry and say, "Lord, Lord, open unto us. We have eaten and drank in thy name. We have cast out devils. We have done many wonderful things." He will reply and say, "Depart, ye cursed. I never knew you." There has been a great provision made at a great cost. And the gospel invitation comes to men and women in Lisburn Baptist Church tonight. "Come, for all things are now ready." Will you come tonight? Have you been making excuses? Have you been putting it off? Have you been putting it back? And God says in his grace again, "Come. I want you to come. I'm giving you an invitation. And you can have all these things that's on the table tonight. This gospel feast has provided at a great cost, and it's for you, and all you need to do is come and take it." Oh, let's be done with making excuses and receive the gracious invitation to come to Christ, to come just as you are, lest you're too late and be excluded from the marriage supper of the Lamb. May God speak to you tonight. May you hear his voice. And may you hear him saying, "Come." And may you come to him and trust him.